at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
A majority of the Senate voted to pass the same repeal legislation back in 2015. President Obama vetoed it then. President Trump will sign it now.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell talking about a repeal of Obamacare that's going to be proposed on the Senate floor now that their replace and repeal didn't work.
In the coming days, the Senate will take up and vote on a repeal of Obamacare combined with a stable 2-year transition period as we work toward patient-centered health care.
The Trump administration unveiling an outline for its plans to renegotiate NAFTA. U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer released an 18-page document for Congress with a specific set of goals for the deal between U.S., Canada, and Mexico. It calls for more U.S. exports for dairy products, wine, and grains, and expand trade in telecommunications. USA Radio News.
Well, as we all know, back-to-school shopping can be expensive. Joining us again is award-winning news and tech journalist Andrea Smith to talk about some of her back-to-school favorites. Welcome, Andrea.
Oh, thanks for having me, Angie. Acer's Aspire R15 is a convertible notebook. It's got a 360-degree hinge, so it transforms from a laptop for doing the schoolwork to a tent or tablet mode for kicking back and watching a movie in the dorm room. So you can get this on Amazon for under $800. Students are using open Wi-Fi on campus, so it's really important to protect that with software like Kaspersky Total Security 2017. It protects you from those online threats, so your data and privacy are always protected, even when you're using this open Wi-Fi.
All right, Andrea, where do we go for more info?
For more information on all these back-to-school items, head over to dailylounge.com.
Excellent. Thanks. Well, now, always glad to have you, Andrea.
Thank you, Angie.
Republican lawmakers have introduced a new budget today. Here's Chris Barnes with a look at that bill.
The $4 trillion proposal issued early Tuesday also sets up a repeal of 2010 Wall Street reforms and cuts $200 billion from programs like food stamps over the next decade. The plan structured in such a way that it could be passed by a simple majority in the Senate, where the GOP maintains a slight 52-48 seat advantage. I'm Chris Barnes.
Harley-Davidson announced it's cutting its 2017 shipments forecast. The company said today it expects to ship between 214,000 and 246,000 bikes this year. That represents a decline of 6-9% from last year's delivery of 262,000. The reset reflects how demand for iconic motorcycles is slowing as Harley's baby boomer customer base ages. And the Trump administration says it's allowing 15,000 more visas to make up for a shortage of seasonal low-wage workers. Critics are saying it's taking jobs from Americans. USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn-Root. I was one of the biggest critics of Obama in the national media. Suddenly, I was under massive IRS attack. So I hired Sam Landis. Sam did an amazing job. We won twice. I didn't owe a penny. Thank you, Sam Landis. Many of you have IRS problems, and you've spent thousands with non-lawyer tax resolution firms. Do yourself a favor. Call Sam Landis for a free consultation. Trust me, Sam Landis is the best. Sam saved my life. Call Sam at 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. That's toll-free, 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. 800-WE-HELP-YOU.
Officials in Mississippi say they still have not collected all the debris from a deadly military crash. Here's more from Randy Bell.
The Marines and their state government partners are still working hard collecting and documenting the debris at the scene of the crash. Mississippi Emergency Management Director Lee Smithson says it's hard to predict how much longer it's going to take.
Once they believe that they've located the vast majority of the debris, they'll do their on-site investigation, and then they will collect up all the debris and move it to a centralized point.
15 Marines and a Navy corpsman were killed in that plane crash last week. Randy Bell in Jackson.
A new poll says an overwhelming majority of Americans are afraid we'll get involved in a new war. Here's the story.
76% of Americans are worried the United States will get involved in a major war in the next 4 years, according to a new NBC News SurveyMonkey national security poll. The number has jumped 10 points since February, when 66% of Americans said they were worried about a military conflict. Although Americans are concerned about a number of national security threats, a strong plurality, 41%, think that North Korea currently poses the greatest immediate danger to the U.S., emerging as a more urgent concern than ISIS or Russia.
A 59-year-old upstate New York woman who was born in Ghana, now a mother, after 4 decades of trying. Akosusa Budu Amukano gave birth to a healthy 7-pound, 4-ounce boy last month. The couple says they couldn't be happier. USA Radio News.
Hey, Pat.
Did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterton Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home sweet home.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, Hunterdon Chamber Radio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. Wow, today we're going to discuss Sharia law and our Constitution. There is a conflict. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Thanks for joining us. Frontlines of Freedom is a proud partner with AmVets. We both promote our nation and our veterans. Joining me at the 50 caliber microphone today is co-host Air Force vet Josh Lang. What's going on, Josh?
Well, Denny, anytime you get another Air Force veteran on the program, you know it's going to be a good show. Yes, I'm referring to former Air Force fighter pilot Colonel Dave Ajima, but I'll still let you make the full introduction here on our 499th episode. Wow.
Thanks, Josh. Hoo-ah. Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby has a big smirk on his face. We'll hear from him as he shares warrant wisdom. And Marine vet Skip Coriel is here looking, well, like he's proud to be an American. What's up, Skip?
Well, Colonel, I am proud to be an American. In fact, I just yesterday had a battle with 21 of my chickens.
21 chickens versus 20. One Marine.
One Marine, that's right. And these were combat-trained chickens, but I prevailed, and they're all in the freezer now.
So they're cool with this, huh?
They are. They're on ice.
We're proud to have the Eisenhower Center and After the Impact as studio sponsors. They do wonderful things for people with traumatic brain injury, professional athletes, combat veterans, and first responders. Here's what we have for you today. On News and Comment by the Colonel, I'm going to suggest that our Army is making a huge mistake in all the accommodations it's making regular soldiers go through to deal with transgender soldiers. Retired Air Force Lieutenant Colonel Dave Ajima is also a former Michigan legislator and an expert on Sharia law. He'll discuss the incompatibility of Sharia law and the U.S. Constitution. Then we'll meet Kevin Weaver from The Warrior's Journey. This is an online Christian outreach to our military. This is good stuff. Then we're going to talk with my friend and fellow Vietnam vet Jimmy Jameson. We'll discuss healing after a close combat.
Hey, troops, please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. Then also go to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter. and join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
We welcome your input to this show. Send us your ideas and comments through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or by Facebook. Now it's time for news and comment by the Colonel on Frontlines of Freedom. First, the news. Lead out, Josh.
Defense Secretary Jim Mattis again pushed a diplomacy-first response to North Korea's ICBM threat, despite the initial reluctance of China and Russia to back the U.S. on pressuring the Kim Jong-un regime. At the Pentagon, when asked if he expected more tests of a missile that could hit the U.S., Mattis said that, quote, "As far as another test in the future, you'll have to ask people in Pyongyang about that." However, this is a diplomatically led international effort to stop a worldwide threat that they are bringing to bear, end quote. Earlier this week, China and Russia blocked the effort by UN Ambassador Nikki Haley to condemn the test firing earlier this month of an ICBM prototype and to impose additional sanctions. In Hamburg, Germany, where he was attending the G20 Economic Summit, President Trump met on the sidelines with South Korean President Moon Jae-in and Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe on the growing threat from Kim Jong-un's nuclear programs and missile tests to develop an intercontinental ballistic missile capable of carrying a nuclear warhead. They later issued a statement saying they would never accept a North Korean regime armed with nuclear weapons and said they would continue to press for early adoption by the UN of additional sanctions on North Korea. Moon has frustrated the U.S. by refusing to approve the deployment of a full battery of the Terminal High Altitude Area Defense, or THAAD, anti-missile system south of Seoul, pending an environmental study. Only 2 of 6 of the THAAD launchers are now in place.
I sincerely hope that the diplomacy will work, but I have little hope that it will. Perhaps we should just park some anti-missile missiles on ships off the North Korean shore or in South Korea and announce that we will shoot down any and every missile that is launched and that the explosion will be over North Korea.
Marine Major Jasmine Mogbelli's grade school dream of becoming an astronaut has wavered only once. During her combat deployment to Afghanistan as an AH-1W Super Cobra pilot from 2009 to 2010. In a June interview, Mogbelli told Military.com, quote, "Had I been offered to leave and go be an astronaut, I don't know that I would have said yes at that time, because I loved what I was doing in that moment," end quote. Regardless, Mogbelli said, the dream had served as a guiding force through her distinguished 12-year Marine Corps career, shaping her plans and giving added purpose to years of intensive work and study. Last month, all of that work came to fruition, as NASA announced that Mogbelli would be one of 12 astronaut candidates selected to undergo a 2-year training and evaluation period for entry into the 58-year-old astronaut program. Mogbelli, age 33, has seldom taken the easy path. She was born in Germany to Iranian parents. They moved to the U.S. when she was 8 months old. She grew up in Baldwin, New York, and remembers first knowing she wanted to become an astronaut in the 6th grade. Mogbelli said, quote, "I did a report on Valentina Tereshkova, the first female in space, a Russian cosmonaut. I think the reason I chose her was I was pretty adventurous. I always loved science, even as a little kid. And then we got to dress up as the person. I had my little spacesuit, and it just kind of, as a little kid, fanned the flames of getting me excited about space exploration," end quote. After high school, Mogbelli had initially planned to attend the U.S. Naval Academy, but was then offered a spot at MIT, where she earned a bachelor's degree in aerospace engineering.
All I can say is congratulations. She worked hard and applied herself and has achieved her dream.
A Virginia man who prosecutors say told an undercover agent that he wanted to commit jihad and tried to join our military has been arrested. Federal authorities said they arrested Shivam Patel on charges that he hid information from military recruiters. The U.S. Attorney's Office said in a press release that the 27-year-old told an undercover agent and a confidential source that he wanted to join a Muslim army and commit jihad. Prosecutors say the man from Williamsburg, Virginia, had also visited China and Jordan. Authorities said Patel was deported from Jordan to the U.S., but didn't say why. When Patel tried to join the U.S. Army and Air Force, prosecutors said he failed to disclose his foreign travel.
I totally object to any idea of encouraging non-citizen immigrants to join our military to gain citizenship. There are too many people out there who want to hurt us. We don't need to be giving any of them training in combat.
Joint Base Lewis McChord in Washington State opened the first American job center on a military base for transitioning service members, spouses, and working age dependents. Colonel Daniel Morgan, JBLM's garrison commander, joined with the Washington State Department of Veterans Affairs and the Washington State Military Transition Council at a ribbon-cutting ceremony for the American Job Center, a project of the U.S. Department of Labor's Employment and Training Administration. The AJC will bolster the existing support services at Lewis McChord and public-private partnerships in the region to aid transitioning service members in joining the civilian workforce. In a statement, Morgan said that bringing in the AJC was the result of 2 years of planning to take advantage of the job center's expertise in training, referrals, career counseling, job listings, and other services. Morgan said, quote, "In an era of fiscal uncertainty, the best way ahead is to link official federal, state, and local resources in a sustainable manner so we have transparency across the spectrum and can measure our success, versus a loosely knitted approach that is overwhelming our people," end quote.
And that's the news. The AMVETS National Service Foundation provides direct support to veterans and their families through service programs, as well as providing community and youth-oriented programs designed to promote unity and patriotism. It counsels and represents veterans and their dependents before the Veterans Administration without charge. They have recently been honored as one of the nation's greatest nonprofits. Check amvets.org. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Coming up on Front Lines of Freedom, we'll share comments by the colonel, and then we'll get some warrant wisdom, and then we'll contrast the U.S. Constitution with Sharia law. At ease, troops, take a break. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. I want to share about an incredible program available for our veterans across America who are suffering from PTS and traumatic brain injury. It's called After the Impact, and it serves our veterans and NFL football players. You know, it all started at the Eisenhower Center in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and is now expanded to a new facility in Jacksonville, Florida. After the Impact provides real treatment and healing in a transitional residential setting. See more about their facilities for veterans and players at EisenhowerCenter.com.
Under 30 horsepower diesel tractors are in high demand. Yanmar meets this demand with the powerful SA series that go above and beyond ordinary tractors with the famously reliable Yanmar engine. When it comes to compact tractors, 35 horsepower is the just right size for many people. The Yanmar Model YT235 tractor fits the bill. Open platform or factory cab, the YT235 is your best choice to put a famous Yanmar diesel engine to work on your land. Look to the Yanmar YT3 series for the best over 45 horsepower compact tractor. Only the YT3 Yanmar tractors can increase your productivity and time savings with the unique, proven, and reliable IHMT transmission. From subcompact 21 horsepower to 59 acre-eating horsepower, Yanmar provides you with powerful tractors and matching attachments for the whole range of compact tractor tasks. More information at yanmartractor.com. That's yanmartractor.com.
If you're a veteran looking to file for your service-connected benefits through the Department of Veterans Affairs, AMVETS highly trained service officers stand ready to walk you through the process at VA regional offices around the country. AMVETS can offer you the advice you need to finally receive all your earned benefits. In 2009 alone, AMVETS helped process more than 65,000 claims and appeals, securing more than $410 million in benefits. To find your nearest AMVETS service officer or to learn more, visit AMVETS.org.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com. mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heide & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heide & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heide & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. It's 20 minutes after the hour, and you are in formation and listening to the Front Lines of Freedom all across America. A Front Lines of Freedom salute to one of our show's sponsors, Honor and Remember. Our nation must never forget those who paid the ultimate sacrifice for our freedoms. This is the mission of Honor and Remember, a nonprofit based in Virginia with support from their national sponsor, Spartan Nash, the leading distributor to U.S. commissaries and fifth largest food distributor. Learn more about how you continue the mission at honorandremember.org. Now it's time for comments by the Colonel. I'm entitling my comments today, quote, Army tells female soldiers to accept naked men in their showers, end quote. If this sounds stupid, you ain't heard nothing yet. This is based on a report about the new transgender training materials that our Army is now using in mandatory training for all soldiers. On June 30th, Defense Secretary Mattis postponed opening of military enlistments to transgender people for an additional 6 months. The delay does not prevent currently serving soldiers from transitioning, however. It is intended to give the Joint Chiefs more time to review and mitigate the Obama-era rules' impact on the readiness and lethality of our armed forces. President Obama's Pentagon allowed transgender soldiers to serve openly, even funding gender change surgeries with taxpayer dollars. The policy prioritizes subjective feelings over combat readiness and inverts military order by placing the needs of individuals over the well-being of their units. Now transgender soldiers may switch their gender marker in the Army's personnel database called DEERS without undergoing sex reassignment surgery or any other physical changes. For a soldier to officially change gender requires only some paperwork. And a doctor must certify that the transgender person has achieved, quote, stability in the preferred gender, end quote. From that point on, the transgender soldier is expected to adhere to all military standards associated with their gender and use built-in bathroom and shower facilities of their new gender. For example, here's a scenario. Following her transition from male to female, which did not include sex reassignment surgery and gender marker change, a transgender soldier begins using female barracks, bathrooms, and shower facilities. Because she did not undergo surgical change, the soldier still has male genitalia. How should troops respond? Quote, soldiers must accept living and working conditions that are often austere, primitive, and characterized by little privacy. That's true. The slide that goes with this tells soldiers to, quote, understand that you may encounter individuals in barracks, bathrooms, and shower facilities with physical characteristics of the opposite sex, despite having the same gender marker. Then, quote, all soldiers must be respectful of the privacy and modesty concerns of others. However, transgender soldiers are not required or expected to modify or adjust their behavior based on the fact they do not match other soldiers. Huh? This is unbelievable. The military is normally in the business of telling soldiers to modify or adjust their behavior all the time to make the military more effective. Here's what this means in real life. Most Army showers look like a prison cell with several shower heads on the wall. getting, say, 30 troops through them in, say, 10 or 20 minutes means no privacy. Female soldiers who feel uncomfortable sharing facilities with individuals who still have, quote, physical characteristics of the opposite sex will just have to put up with it. Can you believe that any sane adult would write such nonsense? The adjustments to billeting are equally intrusive and unbelievable. As important as privacy and respect are, the biggest problem with the policy is its effect on the military's core values of combat readiness. For example, a male infantryman who cannot do 42 push-ups is thus considered a liability in combat, but he can switch his gender marker to female and suddenly be qualified. Even though he retains the exact same physical characteristics and can only do 19 push-ups, he will move to be a combat-ready female infantry soldier, eligible to hold exactly the same role in his former unit. Obviously, the standards for combat infantry have been lowered for women. This, by definition, means a lower standard of combat readiness. The lesson plan is explicit on this point. Quote, for policies and standards that apply differently to soldiers according to gender, the Army recognizes a soldier's gender by the soldier's gender marker. The harassment and discrimination section of the lesson plan forbids, quote, attitudes or comments that marginalize transgender people. You know, heated combat and other emergency situations come with enough confusion with their own without the additional layer added by gender-neutral pronouns, such as they and their, and soldiers should not have to double-clutch for fear of repercussions before speaking bluntly in emergency situations. The military has always been at the forefront of civil rights and equality in our society, and that shouldn't change. But this policy is not a question of equality. It's a question of basic safety and combat effectiveness. It asks the other 39 soldiers in a transgender soldier's platoon to potentially sacrifice their safety for one soldier's affirmation. That's not how we do it in our military. If I had a daughter, I would not want her serving in such a stupid environment. Hey, I wouldn't recommend anybody serve in a military with such contempt for combat readiness. This policy will greatly increase casualties for our troops. No American should tolerate this for 1 minute. Please communicate with your Congress critters. And those are my comments. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. You're listening to Frontlines of Freedom. We get to enjoy some warrant wisdom with Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. What you got this week, Roland?
Colonel, on the surface, most veterans I know appear to be doing very good. But it's when two or more veterans get together, you can see that there's more below the surface. Memories are painful and emotions can be raw. Veterans have stories to tell, and some of them can be extremely funny, and others can be very painful. This is where an organization called Team Red, White, and Blue can help make a huge impact. Their mission is to enrich the lives of American veterans by connecting them to their community through physical and social activity. Physical fitness and sports are proven ways to bring people together and set the conditions to build meaningful relationships. Team Red, White, and Blue provides veterans with renewed camaraderie, a sense of purpose, and shared accomplishment. Not only is this an excellent way to connect on a social level, but physical activity has been proven to be therapeutic and healthy for both the body and the mind. A 2013 government report found that 44% of veterans found it very challenging to integrate back into civilian life. Organizations like Team Red, White, and Blue help by providing a continued or renewed sense of camaraderie, identity, and purpose. One of the most unique aspects of Team Red, White, and Blue is that nearly 30% are civilians who join to attend events alongside veterans, giving the opportunity for this much-needed interaction between civilians and military in a positive and healthy environment. Team Red, White, and Blue is a 501c nonprofit organization that was founded in 2010. Currently, there's over 120,000 members spread across 214 chapters and communities located throughout the world. In my area, Team Red, White, and Blue have monthly social gatherings, weekly running and biking groups, monthly shooting activities, and even a game night. I encourage all veterans to join Team Red, White, and Blue. It's free, and it only takes about 30 seconds to join. Just go out to their website at www.teamrwb.org. That's teamrwb.org. Come on out, spend some time with your fellow veterans, and you just might be surprised at how much fun this can be. Back to you, Colonel.
Thanks, Roland. I really appreciate you. Straight ahead on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll discuss Sharia law in our nation and its constitutionality. Then we'll meet Kevin Weaver. He heads an outreach to our military called Warrior's Journey. All this is coming up. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. You are standing tall with the Frontlines of Freedom. I'll be right back. Get a pair of 50-pound weights and do arm curls. 2 dozen of them, then stand at ease.
Spartan Ash is excited to support LZ Michigan, a community festival designed to remember, honor, and celebrate veterans and their families.
The event will take place on Saturday, September 23rd at 5th Third Ballpark in Grand Rapids, Michigan. LZ Michigan is free of charge due to the generous support of Spartan Ash, and complimentary tickets will be available at all Spartan Ash retail locations in Michigan starting later this summer.
Learn more at lzmichigan.org.
If you served honorably in our nation's armed forces and you're looking for a way to continue serving your fellow veterans in your community, then join AMVETS. Each year, AMVETS members volunteer millions of hours at VA healthcare facilities from coast to coast. AMVETS posts and departments also participate in a wide variety of community service projects ranging from Americanism in our schools to supporting the Special Olympics and Boy Scouts of America. If you no longer wear the uniform today, you can still serve through the AMVETS by joining today at AMVETS.org.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
I regret that the effort to repeal and immediately replace the failures of Obamacare will not be successful. That doesn't mean we should give up.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell on the Senate floor talking about the failure of Republicans to pass a replacement for Obamacare. McConnell talked about the process.
We understood it would not come quickly, but we knew that it was the right thing to do, so we pushed forward. Anyway, I believe we must continue to push forward now.
The Trump administration outlining their plans for renegotiating NAFTA. A U.S. trade rep released a plan for Congress today that shows a set of goals for a deal between the U.S., Canada, and Mexico. It calls for more exports from the U.S. on dairy products, wine, and grains. The NAFTA talks are expected to begin sometime in the next month. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn for pre1933.com. I've been the single biggest BBB, backer, believer, and buyer of gold for over 15 years. Gold was $300 per ounce when I started buying. Today it's over $1,200. But now I've found a better way to buy gold. All those other firms are selling gold bullion. It's not rare, it's not proven, and they have a huge markup because they've commissioned salesmen. I have found the Uber of gold. This company, pre1933.com, will forever change the way gold is sold. Pre1933.com is a wholesale of pre-1933 gold. They have no salesmen, zero commission, prices no one can compete with. All conservatives understand the hole America's in. We owe $20 trillion in debt. We all know gold is the answer. It's our insurance policy. But now you can buy your gold wholesale, just like dealers, without commission salesmen involved. Call 855-PRE-1933. That's toll-free, 855-773-1933, or go to pre1933.com. You'll never buy gold from anyone else ever again.
Troops, welcome back to the nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, please do send me your comments and questions. Email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. The team of the Eisenhower Center and After the Impact really helps our troops who suffer from traumatic brain injury. These are great people. Learn more at eisenhowercenter.com. Now it's time to welcome back to the show retired Air Force Lieutenant Colonel Dave Agema. Dave also served 6 years as a state representative here in Michigan. Welcome back to the show, Dave.
Hey, my pleasure. Anytime.
Dave, let's start with your military career. I know you were a pilot, right?
Correct. I was a fighter pilot, both in the Guards and active duty.
And as I recollect, you liked talking about F-4s. Am I memory working right?
Yeah, that's what they used to call the double ugly, double engines with a swept back wings and a kind of big, heavy airplane that went fast. So, yep, that
okay.
Was a good airplane.
And then you eventually left full-time service and flew for the airlines, right?
Correct.
Now, Sharia law, what I know about it is that it's totally incompatible with the Constitution of the United States, and that it is that Constitution that we military folks took an oath to support and defend. So permitting any legal system to exist in our nation that is contrary to our Constitution seems to be hostile to our country and to the freedom we enjoy. That's why I invited you, because, Dave, I know that when you were in the Michigan legislature several years ago, maybe 10 years ago, you introduced legislation that would prohibit Sharia law from being permitted in Michigan. That law didn't pass. But give us some background. Why did you introduce that stuff?
I introduced the bill because of my relationship with a couple individuals you probably see on television. One of them is three-star General Boykin. The other one is Kamal Saleem, former Muslim Brotherhood terrorist, now Christian, who speaks all over the world. Became good friends with them, and I became very much aware of what the Sharia law is and what the Muslims are actually after, which is world domination. And I was invited to go to Turkey by the Turkish government when I was a state rep. And just before I left, I had General Boykin and Kamal Saleem come to brief the state representatives in Lansing. And out of 148, only 10 showed. They were given 6 months' notice, a month's notice, a week notice, day before notice. They just didn't think it was important. So I've never had a hearing, never did anything. So I put the Sharia law bill in because when I left, Kamal Saleem told me they're going to ask for more green cards, more work permits. They just want to be friendly. What they're really after is civilization jihad. What that means is, that's demanded, by the way, by the Quran, that they have to go into foreign countries and gradually take them over from within. That's exactly what's occurring here. When I got there, they basically asked for that very same thing. I was quite surprised. I came back to Lansing. I put American law for American courts bill in. But that bill basically said, not just Sharia, of it, to a judge, do not use foreign law in a court of law if it causes anyone to lose their constitutional rights. There lies the problems. Sharia, the law that the Muslims believe in, Islam, is, in their opinion, supersedes all man-made laws. So their goal is to make the world one ummah, or one large Islamic state, under Sharia law. And the refugees that we're taking in are about 50% Sunni, and the Sunnis are very much in favor of Sharia law. So I think Michigan here, we're taking in about 12% of the total number of Syrian refugees in the nation. In my opinion, that's kind of foolish for our governor and legislature to accept that, knowing that they promised to use it for jihad. And really, the U.S. is only about 4% of the world's population, but we take in 20% of the refugees, while countries like Saudi Arabia that have the money, the time, place, take in none. But again, Saudi Arabia is one of the nations that is funding terrorism throughout the world.
But even given that, Sharia law, as I've looked at it, truly is totally inconsistent with our Constitution. Do you agree with that?
Well, absolutely. It's anathema to our Constitution because Sharia says there is no other law but Sharia. And Muhammad is the prophet and Allah is their God. Of course, that's just the opposite of what we anticipate. But there's a lot of terms that people don't understand. I think the Muslim world, everybody thinks it's a religion. Actually, it's about 14% religion, but it's a natural threat to our civilization of the world, particularly Western culture. The basic of Islam is intolerance to anything non-Muslim. So Islamic teaching is filled with hate against Jews and infidels, and the Quran and obviously Sharia is at odds with the Bible. While Christians and Jews basically learn how to repair the world, love their enemies, forgive those who trespass against them, turn the other cheek. Muslims are taught from a very young age to fight the infidels, to consider them enemies of Allah. So most Christians and most people, even our legislators and some of our congressmen who vote saying they want to fund sanctuary cities, don't understand that that is part of the civilization jihad, which the Muslim Brotherhood said they will use our refugee system, which we take in 99% of those are Muslim, and they will use our immigration system to get into this country, and they also use illegal immigration to come into this country. According to three-star General Boykin, 80% of the people we catch crossing our southern border, and we don't catch that many, that are not Hispanic are coming from Muslim countries. So we have a sieve of leaking people that want to come into this country and take us over, and that is the goal of the Quran. That is mandated in the Quran to take us over. So when they say it's a religion of peace, there's another aspect here people have to know about the Quran. When Muhammad lived in Mecca, he tried to be a prophet to the Jews and the Christians. They rejected him. He had like 13 or 15 years in Mecca. And finally, he fled and went to Medina. And now he went from being a prophet to being a politician and a warlord. He could not read. He could not write. When he first started having these visions, he thought he was going crazy. His wife says, no, I think you're hearing from God. And there was the issue because in that world, a woman was nothing. However, if Muhammad became something, then she would become something. So she said, no, let's have other people write down what you say you hear. Hence was the beginning of the Quran.
This is Colonel Denny Gilliam on Frontlines of Freedom, and we're discussing Sharia law with Colonel Dave Ageman. Dave, I know a handful of Muslim Americans. I consider them people to be just like me. They're people of faith, and they're good Americans. Are they aberrations, or does it fall into the same category of Christianity? There's 100 different varieties, maybe 1,000 different varieties, different strokes for different folks. How does that work?
Well, here's the kicker. Muslims can say they're moderate. However, the Quran and the Sunnah is composed of the Hadith and the Sirah. One is Muhammad's biography, and one is what he said and did. Anybody who tries to change the Quran to moderate it is considered an apostate. So an apostate, according to the Quran, is worse than a Christian or an infidel. So the problem we have is they can say what they want to say, but do you believe them? Because in the Quran as well is a term called taqiyya, fancy name for meaning they can lie to an infidel if it furthers the cause of Islam. So the problem arises when somebody says they're moderate, are they or are they lying to you? The question you should ask is, can my son date your daughter? The answer is no, you're not looking at a moderate. So what I'm trying to say is those people that speak up will be considered an apostate, and an apostate should be killed. So we have an issue here. So I do know there's some people that came here and they tried to get away from Sharia. I understand that, and I'm thankful for them, but they have to speak up. I'm very suspect of anybody who doesn't speak up with everything that's occurred. And when you look at how many people have been killed by Islam, it has been a killing machine for 1,400 years. I mean, they have killed just millions of people, Christians, Jews, Buddhists, Hindus. Their goal is to eliminate anybody who is not them.
They've done a pretty good job of killing each other, too, haven't they?
Yeah, but see, there's another issue. I can go back to biblical times when Abraham had a legitimate son from Sarah called Isaac, which is the father of the Jewish nation, an illegitimate child from Hagar, the Egyptian handmaiden, which is Ishmael. And the Bible predicted that Ishmael and his descendants would be a great nation, but they'd be hitting and kicking at their brothers forever. And they are. Here lies the issue, too. The Shia and the Sunnis believe in different things. The Shia believe they are descendants from Muhammad. Therefore, they think what they believe is correct. The Sunni believe that they lived with Muhammad, heard what he said and did. So those two will fight each other if they're not fighting us. But they will gang together to fight us since we're the infidels. So it's kind of a strange business. But I don't know of another religion that tells people to lie and tells people if you kill an infidel, you're guaranteed to go to heaven. It makes no sense. It's just the anathema to Christianity as well.
Well, that's certainly true. And there is a lot more to discuss on this, and Dave is going to stay with us. This is Colonel Denny Gilliam on Frontlines of Freedom. It's summer, troops. Go out to your lawn and do, say, 103 push-ups. Hey, that's how many I do every day. Then take a break, but stay in the area. Dave and I will be right back.
This report is brought to you by Northwestern Medicine. The three most common and severe threats to cardiovascular health in the United States are heart failure, heart attack, and stroke. These potentially fatal conditions are treated in hospitals across America, but Northwestern Memorial Hospital in Chicago has become a leader in the treatment of heart failure and other cardiovascular diseases. In fact, the Bloom Cardiovascular Institute at Northwestern Memorial is ranked number one for survival rate of heart failure patients and number two for survival of patients suffering from heart attack or stroke. Dr. Clyde Yancey, Chief of Cardiology at Northwestern Memorial Hospital.
Northwestern Medicine has taken a nation-leading position in heart failure through a disease-specific, patient-level approach that involves identifying and then treating patients earlier in their disease. It is now possible to delay and even prevent heart failure. Mechanical pumps and transplants are important, but the future is in restoring heart function and ultimately the prevention of heart failure.
To learn more, visit heart.nm.org.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this hour on Front Lines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation about Sharia law being practiced in the United States with Colonel Dave Ejma. So, Dave, the challenge is that Sharia law is a vehicle that is being used because we're seeing it everywhere. I'll bet you there's dozens of cities in the United States or states that are considering permitting Sharia law, or at least there's movements in that. And that is another step in the direction of subverting our Constitution.
At Hamtramck, look at Dearborn. They're doing it.
And there are articles about the Muslims in those communities providing their own police, not permitting our police in there. How can this be permitted under any constitution, any kind, any law, anywhere?
Well, that's the point. See, that's their goal. Take it over gradually from within. Let me give you another little bit of history here. Let's go back. 1776, we became a nation. When we became a nation, we were no longer under the auspices of English Navy. Immediately, the Muslims were attacking our ships in Tripoli and taking our sailors, killing some, enslaving some. We were paying up to 15 to 20% of our GDP for ransom to get these boats, ships, and people back. The problem occurred, and Jefferson and Adams met the imam in England to try to ask, why are you doing this? And he quoted the Quran that says we can take what we wish from the infidel. So Jefferson and Adams came back. Adams kind of petered out, and Jefferson said, we need a Marine Corps. We need a Navy. And so he formed a Marine Corps and a Navy in, over a period of time. He got acceptance because he printed 200 copies of the Quran to show the people in America and show the government what kind of a barbaric religion we were dealing with. And then he went over there, and over a period of 4 or 5 years, he beat the heck out of the Muslims in Tripoli, hence the Marine Corps anthem, from the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli. They call them the Leathernecks because they put leather around their neck because they know that the Muslims want to cut their head off. Now, fast forward. We also know in World War II, obviously, the Muslims always supported Hitler because Hitler killed the Jews. Now, fast forward some more, 1991, we discovered the 1991 Muslim Brotherhood strategic plan called the Explanatory Memorandum of the Strategic Goal of North America. Its goal was to destroy America from within via civilization jihad. How we discovered that was in 2004, the FBI raided Ismail Barassi's house in Virginia. Sub-basement were 80 boxes of archives of the Muslim Brotherhood goals were found. Now, you got to remember the Muslim Brotherhood still is the genesis of all these other groups, Al-Qaeda, Hamas, and so forth. And in those boxes, we had detailed goals for North America, particularly the United States. And we found that out because El-Barassi was dressed as a female Muslim with a burqa taking pictures of the Chesapeake Bridge. That looked highly suspicious. So in those boxes, they found 28 Muslim Brotherhood fronts like CARE, Council on American Islamic Relations, ISMA, Islamic Society of North America, MSA, Muslim Students Association, MMA, Muslim Medical Association, and a host of others still and presently operating in the U.S., all supporting terrorism. So then what do we discover from those? The FBI discovered they're trying to change our demographics, more Muslims in America, through reproduction, impregnate, immigration, refugees, change the legal system to Sharia law, change the government and establishment of a caliphate. There you got to think one world government. And then they also, they wanted to ensure that we do not study their doctrine of Sharia. That's why this program is important for people to understand. And then their next goal was to co-opt key leadership positions in our government. Number seven was gradually take over the religious and political systems and gradually at first becoming more and more aggressive as numbers increase. And then forcing Sharia compliance at local levels, just like you see in England and France and Germany and Belgium. And now we're starting to see it in Dearborn, Hamtramck, and so forth. And the next thing was subverting religious organizations. So they have a very well-planned organization, systematic, how to claim this society. And the one that I really like is here, claiming victimization. So they always say, oh, we're the victims. No, the victims are Christians and Jews and infidels. And they subvert the U.S. education system as another one of their goals via Middle Eastern studies, contending slanders against Islam. Think of Salman Rushdie, the satanic verses. They put money on his head and tried to kill him. Confronting and denouncing Western society, its laws and traditions, demanding the right to practice Sharia in segregated Muslim enclaves like we just talked about, and demanding that Sharia replace Western law. So they discovered all that stuff. They said what they were going to do. They said they were going to enter this country, and this is what their goal is. Yet, we have not shut down illegal immigration in sanctuary cities. We haven't passed American law for American courts. And the question is why? And the reason is people didn't think it was important, and I think some of them are paid off who knows by who. So what can you do as an individual to help here? You got to get informed concerning Islam, the Quran, the Sirah, and the Hadith. State government must pass bills like ALEC, American laws for American courts. Bills against sanctuary cities, resist Sharia law any way possible. State governments must stop illegal immigrations. The refugee resettlement program has to be stopped. Before resettlement, cities and municipalities have to be consulted and honor the request to reject them. And the refugee resettlement industry must be exposed for what they're doing. And that's another thing most people don't understand. That was a cash cow given out by Obama. The Catholic Bishop Charity Organization has made over $2 billion taking refugees in, and they cannot proselytize. The Lutheran Social Service has taken in hundreds of millions, same thing, and that formed about 97 to 98% of both of their budgets. So he put a carrot and a stick in front of these organizations, get them into the country. They spend a couple hundred dollars on them, get people to donate some furniture or whatever worth $800, and they can keep the rest. So it was a cash cow. Here's the issue. Once they're here, 4, 5, 6 months down the road, they have no clue where they are, and they cannot proselytize them. And the cost to society is huge.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom, and we're discussing the conflict between Sharia law and our Constitution with Colonel Dave Ageman. Dave, it is clear to me that there are some Muslims in America who would be happy if their daughter dated your son. They are Americans. So this is not a condemnation of Muslims, it is what I call Islamists, people who want to move Sharia law, who want to move Islam into taking over countries, not people who just want to be Americans. Is that do I understand you right?
Yeah, I think you're correct there. And I think people got to understand is you can come into this country and be any religion you want to, but please understand that Islam is only 14% religion. It's 86% of how you live, how you eat, how you treat infidels. It's only 14% religion. So any religion that comes into this country, like the Buddhists, the Hindus, the Christians, the Jews, any of those, none of those, I should say, came into this country to subvert our Constitution. However, Islam does. So what I would expect and would love to hear from these people that are quiet, to come out and speak and condemn what is going on in every which way they can. But I think out of fear, most do not. So yeah. Are there some? Sure there are. But do they come out and speak? I think because of fear, they don't.
You know, I agree with you on that. There are people who call themselves Christians who bomb abortion clinics. Every sure. Christian organization in the world condemns them publicly because while you might call yourself a Christian, bombing that building and killing those people is not real. But we don't see that on the Muslim side anywhere in the world. So that is one of the areas that has bothered me. Dave, thank you very much for taking time to join us today. Thank you for speaking so clearly and pointing out key issues that people need to understand. I appreciate you, brother.
Hey, it's a pleasure. And this is just a living proof that the Army and the Air Force can get along.
Who would ever believe it? And thank you for your service, brother. Talk to you later.
You too. Have a good day.
Now here's the AMVET Stand Tall Troop Report. This is when we find an outstanding performance of duty and we're privileged to honor this fine troop. In March of 1976, SEAL Navy Lieutenant Thomas Norris was awarded the Medal of Honor for his actions in Quang Tri Province, Vietnam, from 10 to 13 April 1972. His Medal of Honor citation reads, Lieutenant Norris completed an unprecedented ground rescue of two downed pilots deep within heavily controlled enemy territory in Quang Tri Province. Lieutenant Norris, on the night of 10 April, led a five-man patrol through 2,000 meters of heavily controlled enemy territory, locating one of the downed pilots at daybreak, and then returned to the forward operating base, the FOB. On 11 April, after a devastating mortar and rocket attack on the small FOB, Lieutenant Norris led a three-man team on two unsuccessful rescue attempts for the second pilot. On the afternoon of the 12th, a forward air controller located the pilot and notified Lieutenant Norris. Dressed in fisherman disguises and using a sampan, Lieutenant Norris and one Vietnamese traveled throughout that night and found the injured pilot at dawn. Covering the pilot with bamboo and vegetation, they began the return journey, successfully evading a North Vietnamese patrol. Approaching the FOB, they came under heavy machine gun fire. Lieutenant Norris called in an airstrike, which provided suppressive fire and a smoke screen, allowing the rescue party to reach the FOB. By his outstanding display of decisive leadership, undaunted courage, and selfless dedication in the face of extreme danger, Lieutenant Norris enhanced the finest traditions of the U.S. Naval Service. So stand tall, SEAL Thomas Norris. Frontlines of Freedom and all of our nation's SAM vets salute you. This concludes the first hour of the show. We'll start the second hour discussing the warrior's journey and online Christian outreach to our military. Then we'll meet Vietnam vet Jimmy Jameson and discuss healing the internal wounds after combat. Of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag military history and our Armed America report. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, go outside, grab your bicycle, ride it fast for 5 miles, then grab some protein and rehydrate with water. Finally, put a big smile on your proud-to-be-an-American face and send me your thoughts by email or on Facebook.
If you're a veteran looking to file for your service-connected benefits through the Department of Veterans Affairs, don't go it alone. AMVET's highly trained service officers stand ready to walk you through the process at VA regional offices around the country. AMVET's can offer you the advice you need to finally receive all your earned benefits. In 2009 alone, AMVET's helped process more than 65,000 claims and appeals, securing more than $410 million in benefits. To find your nearest AMVET service officer or to learn more, visit AMVETS.org.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
I regret that the effort to repeal and immediately replace the failures of Obamacare will not be successful. That doesn't mean we should give up.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell on the Senate floor talking about the failure of Republicans to pass a replacement for Obamacare. McConnell talked about the process.
We understood it would not come quickly, but we knew that it was the right thing to do, so we pushed forward anyway. I believe we must continue to push forward now.
The Trump administration outlining their plans for renegotiating NAFTA. A U.S. trade rep released a plan for Congress today that shows a set of goals for a deal between the U.S., Canada, and Mexico. It calls for more exports from the U.S. on dairy products, wine, and grains. The NAFTA talks are expected to begin sometime in the next month. You're listening to USA.